Grace and peace to you from God and from the coming Lord, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Before there is faith, there is doubt. And the bridge between the two is a promise. Before there is courage, there is fear. Before there is obedience, there is confusion. Before there is confidence, there is upheaval, even upset. And the bridge between all these sets of things we often think as opposites is a promise. I'm talking particularly about Mary as we meet her in the biblical story we just heard read. At this point in her life, as you may remember, Mary is a young girl, likely a teenager. She is engaged, but not yet married, promised to Joseph in a relationship that has yet to be consummated. All of which means that the news the angel Gabriel brings is, to say the least, unsettling. She will conceive and bear a son, the angel says. He would be great, called Son of God, and heir to his ancestor, King David. All of which sounds amazing. But keep in mind where we started. Mary is a teenage girl, engaged, not yet married, promised to Joseph in a relationship not yet consummated. Little wonder, then, that St. Luke tells us that Mary was perplexed when the angel greets her. Personally, I'm not sure perplexed quite captures it. Other translations of the same passage describe Mary as confused, baffled, concerned, greatly troubled, even thoroughly shaken. And no wonder. Her whole life is about to be turned upside down. None of her plans are going to turn out the way she imagined. The life that she had hoped for, dreamed of, is now gone, replaced by who knows what. Before there is faith, there is doubt. Before there is courage, fear. Before obedience, confusion. Before confidence, upheaval. And the bridge between all of these is a promise. Gabriel senses this rush of anxious emotions and responds with the words most regularly accompanying good news: do not be afraid. These are the words Gabriel said last week to the old priest Zechariah when he learned that he and his wife would soon have a child. These are the words with which the angels greet the women at the empty tomb before announcing the resurrection of Jesus. These are the words with which angels so often greet the servants of the Lord throughout Scripture, because it turns out to serve God, to allow God to work through you, to follow the path God has set before you, is kind of terrifying. And so Mary is perplexed, concerned, thoroughly shaken, and downright afraid. And so the angel promises courage. And that promise allows Mary to be caught up in God's plans for and work for the redemption of all. But I wonder if there's even more going on than first meets the eye. I mean, Luke reports that Mary is first perplexed, concerned, anxious, and thoroughly shaken, even before he tells her that she will give birth to Jesus. In fact, her anxiety spikes the moment he greets her as favored one. Now, if Gabriel had come and said, "Woe unto you," or "Cursed be your offspring," or even, "Do you want the good news first or the bad news?" then I could completely understand Mary's anxiety. But Gabriel only offers good news. Greetings, favored one. What's so perplexing or troubling about that? Well, maybe Mary is simply terrified by the angel's presence. That, after all, was Zechariah's response in the story we heard last Sunday, and it will be the reaction of the shepherds in the story we hear on Christmas Eve. It's a definite possibility. But I still think there's more. I wonder if maybe Mary just couldn't believe what Gabriel was saying. That, too, is a regular feature of biblical stories, whether it's Abraham and Sarah or Zechariah and Elizabeth. Characters in the biblical story almost always have a hard time believing that God has come to them in the midst of their lives to do something special. They have a hard time, that is, believing that God wants to call them and treat them as favored. So maybe Mary wondered what was special about her. She was, as we've already noticed, incredibly ordinary, A teenage girl, probably poor, with little to no education, engaged, not yet married, nearly identical to 1,000 other girls just like her in that region alone. So how could she possibly have earned God's favor? Maybe that's what's perplexing, confusing, even troubling. Because once again, before there is faith, there's doubt. Before courage, fear. Before obedience, confusion. Before confidence, upheaval. And once again, the bridge between all these things is a promise. Favored one, Gabriel calls her when he first encounters her, and then returns to that same promise. You, Mary, have found favor with God. That is, you are enough, loved, chosen, already. And God favors you, blesses you, chooses you, just because God wants to. And then, in case all of this sounds a little too hard to believe, Gabriel reminds Mary of the chief promise throughout Scripture: nothing is impossible with God. Favored one. When I think of Gabriel's greeting and promise to Mary, I'm reminded of one of my professors from graduate school, Dr. Cleophas LaRue. Dr. LaRue was a member of the National Baptist Convention of America, the largest predominantly African-American denomination in the country. At that time, he was an experienced pastor, an exceptional preacher and teacher, and an up-and-coming scholar studying the history and practice of preaching in the Black church. I had, and I still have, a tremendous amount of respect for him. But there was one thing that he regularly did that I found unsettling. Whenever we would see each other, whether in the classroom or somewhere else on campus, he would always address me in his deep baritone voice as Dr. Los, even though I had not yet earned my degree. I knew he knew that. He was, after all, one of my professors. And I never had any sense he was teasing me, let alone mocking me. Yet he always addressed me as Doctor anyway. And I found it perplexing, confusing, even a little troubling. I was raised in a home where you were expected to earn what you received, and I had not earned that title. Well, one day, after Dr. LaRue again addressed me as Dr. Los, I just couldn't take it anymore, and so I asked, Dr. LaRue, I have not earned my degree yet, and some days I'm not sure I ever will. Why do you keep calling me doctor? He paused for just a moment, as the briefest trace of a smile danced across his face, and then he said in a voice grown suddenly serious, in the Black church, Dr. Los, we do not call you what you are, but what we believe you will become. Sometimes I think one of the hardest things to believe in the Bible is not the miracles, or even the resurrection. Sometimes I think the hardest thing to believe is God's promise that God loves us just as we are, that God accepts us as we are, that we don't have to do anything to earn God's favor, that God's grace and mercy is given to us as a gift. One of the hardest things to believe in the Bible, that is that we, like Mary, are favored. Ordinary, yet God calls us extraordinary. Average in so many ways, yet God calls us special. More or less run-of-the-mill, no different than millions of others, yet God regards us as precious and beloved and so incredibly important and valued. Knowing ourselves as we do, being intimately familiar with every shortcoming, every failure, every time we've let someone else or ourselves down, that word can be hard to believe. And so to hear someone call us favored can be perplexing, confusing, even troubling. And yet it's true. St. Luke, in fact, tells this Christmas story for just this reason. By and large, when you think about it, the whole of the Old Testament is the story of God's great love for God's people. God rescues them from Egypt, gives them the Ten Commandments as a sign of favor, makes covenant after covenant, and sends prophet after prophet to remind the people that they are God's chosen people. And yet, still, they struggle to believe. And so after all of this, St. Luke tells us, God sent Jesus, God's own son, to be born in a stable to poor, ordinary Mary, so that Jesus would grow up and declare in word and deed through his life and death God's favor, grace, and love for all. So where are you today, just now? Does your life feel like it's in turmoil? Things not going according to plan? Everything around you suddenly uncertain or upset? Then hear Gabriel's promise again, this time addressed to you. Do not be afraid, for God is with you. Or perhaps you are struggling to believe that God loves you and accepts you as you are. You don't feel special, far from it. You wonder how you're going to get through this day, this week, this life. Then hear Gabriel's promise again addressed to you. You have found favor with God, just as you are. Or maybe, just maybe all of this, God's love and acceptance, God's promise to be with you and for you, God's favor, all of this seems just too hard to be true, and life's challenges too difficult to overcome. Then hear Gabriel's promise once again, addressed also to you. Nothing is impossible with God. Because as we've seen throughout Scripture, before there is faith, there's doubt. Before there's courage, fear. Before obedience, confusion. Before confidence, upheaval. And the bridge between all of these is a promise. And this is God's promise to you. The promise made real in the birth of Jesus. The promise made visible in Jesus' death on a cross. The promise made trustworthy in Jesus' resurrection from the tomb. That you are God's child. Favored. Beloved. Chosen. Accepted. Already. Here. Now. This very moment. Because God does not call us what we are. God calls us what God has made us to be and knows we will become. Thanks be to God. Amen.